Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. There are many things that are newsworthy, but we just can't cover the entire distraction. We do need to plow forward. But we're not going to plow forward today just because I still had some things that I wanted to cover regarding marketing, as far as what is it going to take? How bad does it have to get? And I will give you some good examples, of course, as I can't say I always do, but I try to do. I try to give you information that will actually help you hopefully get involved, hopefully get motivated to say, you know what, if I don't take a stand, it's over. Because that's the space we're in, my friends. We need people to take a stand. There's lots of people, by the way, that are taking stands, but they are... And these are noble gestures of what they're trying to do. I mean, you know, we appreciate the fact that they're standing up against abortion, or, you know, fighting in the trenches of education, or, you know, health, freedom, or abortion. There's all of these different things out there. Anybody that has been listening to this show for any period of time has to recognize the fact that those are distractions. Those are untenable fights you will never win. And that is because you are fighting on the battleground that they have brought you to. The battleground that will win this war against federal tyranny is when the states assert their authority from the states. You don't go to the federal government. Every time you go to the federal government over something they have no jurisdiction, education, marriage, energy, environment, it doesn't matter. I mean, look at all of these distractions we're talking about. They don't have jurisdiction over these things. So why is it that people are going to the court, to the federal courts? The federal courts have no jurisdiction, but we've been bamboozled into believing that they have jurisdiction over everything. Well, if we can't solve it at the state level, or if the progressives aren't happy enough with how it panned out at the state, well, we're going to take it to the federal court. And the federal court would have to say, sorry, that's a state's issue. If you don't like the fact that that state is in, you know, is requiring a limitation on abortions, or requiring a limitation on environmental things, or whatever, you have to amend the Constitution to give us that jurisdiction. Because until then, we can't rule for you. And that's exactly what it is. And we've been allowing the progressives to drag us in to the federal court system so that they can push us in the directions that we want to. Or actually, they get us to believe that we have to go in the directions that they want us to. Because bottom line is, if it is not an enumerated power, the states have the final say over it. They're the final arbiters. Anyway, as you know, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this show is the only one, it is the only show that actually speaks of the constitutional truth regarding the limitations, the hard, fast limitations. How many conservatives do you hear that are constantly talking about, well, we've got to get the federal government to kind of back out of these things, but they don't talk about dismantling it because it's unconstitutional. They don't talk about the fact that almost all of the federal government and all of the things that they're listening to us are unconstitutional. Even these that claim to be constitutional conservatives. It's all unconstitutional. The federal government has no business meddling with it. And this isn't these are not GR's words. The fact that these words are coming from the framers. Anyway, so that's why hopefully you continue to tune in. Hopefully you continue to listen. But even more importantly, we've been asking you to continue helping this message reach other people. Please reach out and talk to and or call people and let them know, hey, you've got to tune into this show. This show actually has a different approach. They actually have solutions instead of just complaining and getting you to talk about, you know, stupid ideas. Not that you have stupid ideas, but there's people that call up to these show hosts that, you know, it's not like they're really solving anything. And it's wasting your time as well as mine. Time is a finite resource, and we only have so much time to get this thing fixed. I'm hoping you recognize the exigencies of the day. I hope you understand that if we don't start taking action quickly, then I don't want to say it's over, but because it's always in God's hands. But I would believe that we're going to pass a line where it really will require a miracle from him. And I know George Washington always attested to how throughout history, how the divine hand of providence was the point in fact of, you know, his surviving to fight another day or being able to do other things. There's no doubt in my mind he had a great respect for the divine hand of providence's involvement, and whether it be insights or just direct involvement in his efforts of the Revolutionary War. So we've got a lot of George Washington coming up, and the reason what we're going to do is we're going to cover the cod fishery bounties maybe in the next episode, and then we're also going to cover George Washington's farewell address. And then we were going to get into George Washington's proclamation for Thanksgiving. And you're going to understand why. Because America's Thanksgiving has nothing to do with pilgrims or turkey. And I know the people up in the Northeast, they get really upset, or people that have links to, you know, some of the old traditions of the Northeast. George Washington actually created a new tradition for this republic. The Congress actually set the tone of what that tradition was supposed to be. And it had nothing to do with the celebration of the maize and the bounty that the Indians shared with the pilgrims. Sorry, it had nothing to do with that. But we'll get into what all of that is. Now, the listen line is 605-562-4209, okay? Now, the other thing is, let me plug the Red State Coffee at this point. Have you purchased and have you tried it? If you have, give us a call, 425-270-5416, and let us know. Let us know what you think of Red State Coffee. We would like to, you know, have some wind in our sails, and the best way to do that is to get you to tell us what you think. This is a premium coffee, understanding the sources of where this coffee comes from, and anyway, so I would ask, and I beg, and I beseech you to try at least one bag. If you drink coffee, then why not drink the coffee that will support this show? I hate to put it into that perspective, but I mean, if you understand the importance of sponsorship, then this is one great way of you obtaining a product as well as supporting the show. So there we go. Before we go into break, let me ask you this. How many people understand what the heck is going on in Hong Kong? And if you've heard, I mean... The Chinese have been asking for our help for years, for decades. They've just been stifled. Now Hong Kong realizes that they're probably in the last throes of being able to have... apparently, they still have hope that they believe that they can actually push off the Chinese Communist Party from taking full control of them. They want American help. I'm here to tell you that the Chinese themselves, the Chinese people, want American help. The newer generation that's coming up, and there are those that are in love with the Communist Party, they're okay with, you know, millions of people dying. They don't have a problem with a shortage of people there. They can easily just grab somebody off the street and put them in the factory or what have you. They have an abundance of people. And so with the fact that they have 300 million political prisoners all basically put into a situation where, you know, when somebody comes along that needs their organs, they are dead. That is the level of despotism and tyranny that they are living under. And they're asking for American help. And you can't tell me that we don't have a moral obligation in trying to do something. And the one thing that we can do is Trump can actually stand up and actually call China out on the political stage as well as the social stage and say, you have no moral high ground, China. And as a matter of fact, we should be looking at actually pulling back all of our dependencies on China. We should have a strategy of actually pulling out of China and getting all of our manufacturing and all of our economic trades and so forth that we're doing with China moved to somebody else that is far more deserving. The problem is China is in the position because we've put them there, and that comes with some blame and guilt. But we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. You hear a lot of people talking about the deep state, and you hear people talking about the problems that we're facing today. The deep state has existed for a long time, a much longer time than even a lot of people are willing to acknowledge. If you understand America's involvement in helping Lenin go fight the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, you have to start asking yourself, why did we let that happen? why did the politicians in America, I mean, it surely wasn't because the American people wanted that to occur. The same thing with China. As a matter of fact, if you look at the facts, America was involved in allowing the communist revolution to occur. It was one of those revolutions that could have easily been stopped and halted. But America sat on its hands, and instead of helping China, we allowed the Chinese Communist Party and the revolution to just take over. We have to stop allowing these types of things. And bottom line is, everything that has occurred from the Bolshevik Revolution and all of the rest of these globalist things, this is not the American government. This is the deep state within it, violating the Constitution and violating our fundamental principles. Doing things for individual liberty and individual sovereignty is in our DNA. And those are the reasons why America got behind the First and Second World Wars, as well as other wars, because it was obvious that people were being subjugated and or potentially being taken over, where they were going to lose their individual liberties and individual sovereignties. So at this juncture, it's time to be honest and say, you know what, we have to have plans of establishing individual liberty. In other words, before we go into Iraq, before we go into Afghanistan, and I know this is hindsight quarterbacking, but it's the same thing. Before we go into China or Iran or anywhere else in the future, there needs to be a clear outcome as to what is going to happen, so that there is no more theocracy put into place, no more tyrannical forms of government, monarchies, what have you, where the people are unleashed and protected in some guaranteed fashion, that individual liberty will flourish in this new freed country. But instead, we're just asked to go help fight a war so that somebody else can take control or what have you. We need to be very clear in understanding what our objectives are and why we're joining in any fight. And that purpose and reason is to guarantee individual liberty and individual sovereignty for the citizenry. I'm here to tell you that in South Africa, when Stephen Bantu Biko was leading the charge in the 70s against the apartheid, America should have gotten behind him because he was not looking to create a socialist state like Nelson Mandela. He was looking to allow people to have the freedoms that they should be enjoying as human beings. If you look at his position, he was a lot like a framer, because he believed that people had these inalienable rights, and that we had this, that the people of South Africa deserved individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and not to be subjugated by any state. That's why if you've never seen the movie Cry Freedom, you should, you know, go to your Netflix and pull it up. I think it's Klein that is the actor in that. But it's a great expose on what the heck really happened in South Africa. And where in the heck was Nelson Mandela? Well, Nelson Mandela was already in prison, but he was never perceived as a real threat. He was able to be controlled because he was just somebody that was just a revolutionary just trying to fight for control of power. So when it was time to, you know, shift power from one to another, because, hey, you know, it's just time we do that, he was just the poster child for a power mongerer. Stephen Bantu Biko was not. And so that's why I challenge you to watch that movie, do your research on this, and you will understand how the globalists and the elitists threw South Africa under a bus by moving from one bad ruler to another bad ruler to another bad ruler, as long as we have control. They do not want free societies and people to be able to do what they want, to challenge their products, their services, or what have you in their little niche of the world. These conglomerates, these corporations want better and more control. That's why the World Forum even exists. I remember in 1984, I was at the World Forum in Vail, Colorado. And it was interesting at that point in time because I was an idiot, because I was not attuned to what the heck was going on. I was really more awestruck that Henry Kissinger and Schmidt and all sorts of world leaders were all in this one place. As I look back, I realize that these people were all colluding in how to get the world to move in the direction that was best for them, their businesses, their banking, and for their control. So collusion is happening all the time. And when we start going down the path of supporting individual liberty and individual sovereignty, we are actually attacking them and what they are trying to do. So with that, I believe we owe Hong Kong, and I believe people need to start raising up the rancor in the American political forum and why we are not helping Hong Kong and calling out the Chinese for their big brother state, their live organ harvesting, and all their inhumane treatment of their own people. It's about time Trump needs to be doing this. He needs to be calling them out on the world stage, in the economic forums as well as the social forums. Here's a guy that just, you know, he does those things just naturally. Why in the heck is he not doing this? Why is he not calling them out as being the bad guys? Why is he not pointing out to the world, are you guys okay with the fact that he has 300 million political prisoners? Anyway, or they have the 300 million. Anyway, let me just kind of move forward. As I already said, we want to get a listenership drive. Again, we want to grow because it's nice seeing us up and around the 10 percentile or, you know, the top 10 and that type of thing on streaming. But what I would really like to see is us actually climbing and climbing. It would be nice to knock off the other people that come on board at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Western Time, to see those number ones and number twos and threes, you know, knocked down a peg or two. And that means that more and more people are starting to get the message that there is a solution. It's called Republic Review. It's called auditing the Constitution. It is called holding our subordinate, our federal government, to the general government, accountable in complying to our Constitution. All we've got to do is get the states to start demanding this. And so you have the opportunity, my friends, to actually get this awakening moving forward. Because as I've said before, if we could get one state, if we can get Wyoming, we can get South Dakota, we can get Idaho or Montana, as soon as one state is out there teaching the other states, we have come, I mean, it's almost like it's a downhill slide from there. Getting one state to step up, it makes it so much easier to get the rest of the states and so forth, because now we have a champion out there in the political forum and talking to the other states saying, you need to join us, and this is why. It's no longer GR doing this. This becomes they take control. It's really not about my control. It's about them taking control. And when I say them, I'm talking about the states. The state legislatures have the constitutional oversight and the ability to step in. It's about getting the message out. So that's what we're asking. Just get at least each week, try to commit to getting one more person to at least start tuning in so that they can start understanding and seeing the bigger picture. So I don't want to harp this whole time, you know, the whole hour on, you know, growing the show, but it's important. If you understand the message that we're providing, it is important. Because if you don't recognize the fact of how dangerous it is today, here's a good one. Just look at political correctness today and how they are implementing a revisionist history in trying to just deal with things like Columbus Day. Are you kidding me? They're rewriting history and they're completely ignoring humanity and the human condition as it has evolved over the millennia. Are you kidding me? So I realize that we're just a few seconds away from going into a break. So let me just tell you this. The Christopher Columbus is the scapegoat, and it is it's one of those foundations on how bad supposedly they want you to believe America and Western society is. Apparently, what happened in the Western society was a one-time aberration, and don't believe the crap that they're feeding you. We will be right back after these two promos, and we will get into the real facts of this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
All right. So we're going to be, let's expose the fallacies. If I'm correct, I don't believe you're going to be able to point to any culture, race, or creed out there that has not engaged in conquest, has not engaged in, you know, brutal savagery and so forth. Let's look at the Far East first off. If you want to talk about the dynasties of China and what they did for thousands of years, okay, let's put that on the table. So granted, they may not have been doing worldwide conquest, but they didn't care. They had enough people, you know, just there available for them. But you got to understand that, hold just a minute. They actually did have a worldwide conquest. Remember Attila the Hun? Yeah. Attila the Hun, he kind of leveled much of Europe as he was just going through conquering, but it wasn't necessarily a conquest. He just wanted to kill a lot of people and do a lot of damage. Let's talk about Africa. Let's look at how even today it is a part of, unfortunately, it's still in the culture of Africa to capture people and subjugate them. As a matter of fact, I even exposed the paradigm of how corruption is just rampant in Africa and throughout the world. The idea of doing things because of nobility and honor is truly a Western society type of thing. And so if you understand what the history revisionists are doing, they're trying to use nobility and honor of, well, this, you know, these people were bad because they did these things. And so we need to, because it's all about they're trying to be noble and trying to create equality. And they're just, they are using the same Western type of sales or the Western spin on justifying their position. The fact of the matter is, Christopher Columbus was Italian. And even though, you know, even though he was able to, you know, set sea and, you know, do his, you know, what, I think four voyages or expeditions. The fact of the matter is, how many countries in the New World were established by the conquest of Italy? Interesting. So Christopher Columbus and the efforts spent by his efforts, I mean, it wasn't like it was the fruit of anything. The real fruit went to Spain and Portugal. And Spain and Portugal were those who introduced slavery to the New World. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at conquest and colonization, even the indigenous people of every continent had some level of savagery and or conquest and so forth. Now, I don't know much about the Aborigines or, you know, the Australian, you know, history of that part of the world, but it's just in human nature. It's in human nature to say, if we're starving, we got to go take from those people that are eating so that we can have food. And we have to use our weapons of war or what have you. Let's look at Egypt. Let's look at how long Egypt ruled and the brutal savagery and slavery that they invoked for 3,500 years. There is no culture, there is no, other than the American culture, because the American culture was, if you want to say it inherited, because it did not invent slavery. We inherited a mess. And it took us a good century to finally rid ourselves of, you know, those things that were, and we had our opportunity during the Constitutional Convention, but a political compromise was reached. And unfortunately, political compromises are always the wrong way to go. We have to tout the line. We have to hold the line and say, this is wrong. But nevertheless, those who made history made the decisions. We have to deal with that. But the fact of the matter is, America became the champion of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And Britain made a great facade, and the European nations made great facades in saying, oh, well, we're the champions of that. Well, actually, they're not. They helped, and Britain was integral in helping us going around the world. If you've never read Thomas Sowell's Black Rednecks and White Liberals, you need to, because it gives you the paradigm and the truth of regarding slavery and just that whole concept. But the fact of the matter is, Christopher Columbus and the rewriting and the revision of history is all over this concept of conquests and colonizations. Conquests are still going on today. Why don't these people shut up and actually start looking at what the heck is going on in China? You can't tell me Taiwan, Tibet, and a lot of these other places that are bordering China, the Shackleton Islands and so forth. You can't tell me that China isn't trying to inflict its will upon these neighboring states, trying to absorb them, saying, you're ours. I'm telling you, China is a nation that is still utilizing conquest. If you look at Russia, Russia's doing it too. The fact of the matter is, and I want you to understand this, that in the the 18th century, in the 1776, with our Declaration of Independence and the writing of our Constitution, America, Enlightenment, changed the paradigm. Instead of conquest and subjecting the indigenous people to your rule, we created a system that allowed states to voluntarily ascend into becoming a subject? No. A stakeholder of the Constitution that delegates limited roles, responsibilities, and powers to a subordinate general government. I mean, in other words, if you want to become a part of this union, Estonia, Chile, or what have you, all you need to do is petition and say, we want to become a state of the United States. And I honestly would love to see them actually sue and come to the states themselves and say, why can we not be, because within the Constitution, Congress has the power to dictate exactly what it takes for them. And if you understand the process, it should be the same. There should be a period of time that should pass that requires the monetary changes, the language changes, and everything else, the judicial laws and those types of things. They got to understand, though, that the Constitution does not dictate the local laws such as common law, civil law, or what have you. I mean, that's up to the state themselves. But they do have to understand that they will be brought in under a very thin, and I want to make this very clear, a very thin federal legal system. In other words, the federal legal system only has the jurisdiction over those few things delegated to the federal government. They just can't make things up and say, yeah, we have cognizance and jurisdiction over all of these things. That's what they've been doing. We've got to stop that, because every time we allow them to usurp jurisdiction, it always bodes bad for us. We lose sovereignty, we lose our liberties, and so forth. And all of the things that they're doing and all the things that they have usurped are all unconstitutional. The states have every right to stand up and take those things back. The states are superior in all things not formally delegated. Read the 10th Amendment, my friends. Read Article 7 of the Constitution. Who was it that had to have buy-in? It wasn't Congress. It wasn't the Supreme Court or President. The people that bought into the Constitution to give it force were the states. States, you have the ability to pull back your force and use it. And there are plenty of things within the Constitution that the states can use as the full force of the Constitution to obtain compliance by their general government. I mean, that's why we cover these things. So one of the things we're going to be getting into, we're probably going to cover the ratification debate. So you want to tell people, let's say I want to give you reasons why you people would want to listen. We're going to be covering the ratification debates again coming up in the next probably few weeks. Those are episodes you don't want to miss. You're going to actually hear the framers explain the limitations on the Constitution. These are not misses. I understand I'm not talking about these, fake Trump assassination videos and all the different distractions. What is more important is that people get educated in understanding what it takes to win, what it takes to actually take back our constitutional republic. If we're focused on the solution, then we'll actually obtain it. But if we allow ourselves to be distracted, we will never win. We will constantly be subjugated, and we will be tossed to and fro by their whims and desires, because that's what happens, right? Anyway, so we want to kind of just move forward, and actually I see that I've got another break coming up already, but I want to get into the Washington State Legislatures, and this is a G. Edward Griffin News, Need to Know News. And oh, by the way, I need to start telling you that there is another Red Pill Expo. It's coming up in Mesquite, Nevada. So those of you on the West Coast, You should be able to find yourselves in Mesquite. I believe it's the 8th and the 9th. So those who were planning on celebrating the Marine Corps birthday on the 10th, this will give you something to kind of build up for. But anyway, we will be right back after these two promos regarding what the heck the state of Washington had just done that J. Edward Griffin wanted you to know about. We'll be right back. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Now, I know that the people of these terrible, terrible governments are good people, that most of them. There are those who have drank the Kool-Aid and completely support subjugating others and doing just terrible things. Like the live organ harvesting. Are you kidding? Really? That's a good thing? How could anybody support that? How could any government get into that position? Well, I mean, if you look at throughout history, when governments have obtained that level of power, it's about corruption. And it's not about a dictator anymore. It's about a party. It is about an ideology. It is about having greater and greater controls. And we're in that same boat, my friends. We're heading down that same boat here in America. Well, I was talking about Washington State. And the whole reason I went on that tangent is, you know, I know Chinese. I don't know how to speak Mandarin and so forth, but I do know Chinese people, and they're good people. Same thing with Mexicans. Same thing with Ecuadorians. I know these people, and they're good people around the world. We're all brothers and sisters. I'm okay with, you know, working out problems, but when we have governments doing these things, we have to call these governments for what they are. They're evil. Now, back to what G. Edward Griffin was talking about. The Washington State legislatures passed a law requiring the schools teach ethnic studies that uses mathematics to create racial conflict. Interesting, huh? Seattle's public school district produced a tentative ethnic studies plan that describes math as a subjective concept that has been used by the West to oppress racial minorities. All of this is funded by Washington State and federal tax dollars. Just just something that can help motivate you that, you know, when you pay, when you look at those contributions on your pay stub to the federal tax dollars and or state taxes and so forth, just hold your head up proud that you're funding this kind of crap. All of it being unconstitutional for the federal government to be involved in any way or paying for it. And there's always this Trump, another Trump coup that's going down. Dudley wrote that the Fed should refrain from bailing out Trump on the economy and that the trade war with China. Otherwise, he warns that the country risks re-electing President Trump in 2020. We agree that the Fed should not bail out the Trump administration or any administration for that matter, but that's because we don't think it should bail out any administration when we approve of the Fed doing this because we like or dislike the current president. We, and by the way, this is G. Edward Griffin's a little editorializing here. Like or dislike the current president, we endorse the idea that the Fed has and should exercise such power. In other words, we validate the power, which is a bad idea. And there you go. When you understand, you know, there are politicians that have made a lot of money in selling you books like Audit the Fed and so forth, what they're doing is they're making profit on something that is actually the wrong thing to do. But it seems like, oh, well, that's a defiant thing. We got to audit the Fed. No, we have to audit the federal government. We have to have the federal government show where they had the constitutional authority in creating the Fed. We don't audit the Fed. Auditing the Fed validates the Fed, just like what G. Edward Griffin is saying here. It is far more important to call out the federal government on its encroachments and its breaches of the Constitution than it is to actually go out and say, hey, what are you doing with our money? Why are you doing this? And you're just validating them in doing so. So speaking of incrementalism, we've talked a little bit about this, and G. Edward Griffin brings this up, that Silicon Valley is building a Chinese-style social credit system in the U.S. Tim Pool explains that the U.S. is creating a social credit system parallel to the one in China. The government is becoming obsolete because most of the social functions are transacted through private companies, as much of our economy is reliant upon the internet and large multinational companies who have no allegiance to the people. Now, he's just playing into something I've been harping on, but let me finish G. Edward Griffin's thought. China's social credit system punishes people for some behaviors while points are awarded for others, more desirable actions. In the U.S., life insurance companies can base premiums on what they find on social media accounts. PatronScan scans IDs at the bars and restaurants and identifies troublemakers. A public list is shared among the PatronScan customers so they can refuse service to individuals with objectionable behavior. Now, this is probably going to get a lot of people, you know, up in arms about, you know, these companies and these things happening, right? But I want you to understand, when it comes down to, you know, moving into these social credit systems or moving into, you know, utilizing technology and how they're reaching across these state boundaries, does the light go on with the fact that here are companies that are actually operating in your state? In other words, if people are paying for subscriptions for this PatronScan or they're paying for things, then how come you are not, as a state, taxing these services? Because bottom line, you are making revenue for work and or businesses is being conducted in your state. The internet has kind of changed things, but it's gotten everybody to believe, well, apparently it's okay to go ahead and tax individuals for sales tax purposes. But heavens forbid we ever call, or I should say we ever require that corporations have to pay, you know, their sales tax or I should say revenue taxes to the state for money that they're doing in conducting business in these states. Come on. Facebook uses all sorts of advertising at the local level for politicians and so forth, and I can't understand why state legislatures are not demanding Facebook pay for the revenues that they're earning in their states. They're conducting business in their states. They need to be paying for that. Do you get this now? Now this will really shut up, or this will be, maybe even take the change the game and how Facebook is even making money. And as a matter of fact, there is a good argument to say, you know, how long has Facebook been doing this? They should have been paying to the states these, you know, taxes. So go after them with fees and penalties. Make them squirm. And as a matter of fact, all of these companies that are doing this, you know, they're, if you want to conduct business like this, then you have to pay your taxes in our state. Then once you've got them there, then the state legislatures can start regulating the types of businesses and services that they're providing. Does that make sense? The states have all the control here. The states have everything necessary in going after these businesses and actually getting them to behave better. The federal government shouldn't even be doing this. Now, the desirable model for business is to maximize profits. I absolutely get that. And that's how you rise the perception and the value of your stock. The pace of tech is being felt in the American cinema market as well, because apparently the American cinema market has, and when I say, you know, maximizing profits, you know, you go out and buy, you know, a factory of equipment and you start tooling and you start selling your product, you don't want to have to replace your tooling. You don't want to have to replace your whole manufacturing assembly line. Well, and as a matter of fact, you make more money the longer you can get away with selling those same products, even though they may be technologically inferior. I'll give you a great example. In the 90s, they came out with protein plasma in the ability to store data. Now, we're talking about like not a live organism, but an organism that has a superior random access functionality, where 1-inch cube of this protein plasma would be able to hold a terabyte of data. I remember this was just blowing my mind away, and I'm going, wow, this is the future. Well, hold it. How come we don't have that yet? We're talking almost 30 years after the fact, and why is it that we're still using spinning disks? Look at how much money these manufacturers have made by continuing to make, manufacture, and sell you spinning disks instead of bringing in a much better, more viable, and probably even an easier manufactured product other than, you know, these spinning disks. Well, that's because Seagate, Western Digital, and all the rest of these manufacturers wanted to maximize their profits. And boy, they've been taking this to the bank. Well, I'm sorry for the digression there, but bottom line is I will get back into finishing these because I didn't get a chance to finish these and what I wanted to cover today. So we will get through these in their next episode. I am G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.